Ladies and gentlemen, let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. As I continue to preach of a hypocritical faith, and this series is so timely. And trust me when I tell you, it is changing lives. Right here, right now, and lives in other areas of the country and world. It is so fitting for this day and time. I wish I could preach on it for the next 300 days. I am preaching a little bit earlier tonight because I have a dinner date, if you will, with my two oldest daughters. As this is still Father's Day week, and I thank God for them and their love and appreciation for me, and we've had a wonderful time down through the years serving the Lord together, and they have helped in the ministry, and they're still serving the Lord and still helping in the ministry. And it is a wonderful thing to see when your children serve the Lord after they leave on their own without being told. Of Hypocritical Faith, Part 17, The Lost Souls of Black Folk and White Folk, Part 46. I do want to read verses 1 and 2, and then get down to the passage that I want to focus on today. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Then I want to pick up reading. I said to you before, I believe that God, one of the reasons why God allows marriage and parenthood is to show people how they have treated him. He wants them to feel the pain that he has felt for so many hundreds of years. The chastisement is built into marriage and family and raising children. Look at verse 16. Wash you, make you clean. In other words, do what you have to do to get yourself clean. Now we know you need to ask God to forgive you and cleanse you and wash in the precious blood of Christ. But you do what you have to do, and you do what you need to do to get yourself washed and clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, and all of our evil is before God. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Now God is telling us what we need to do to get right with him. And as I have told you many times, you can quit asking, what did I do wrong? Why do you feel that way? All of that foolishness. and just get your wicked heart right with God, and then all of that foolishness will go away. Come now, God says, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Now, whenever you hear words to the effect, the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it, that means it's guaranteed. And it is universally guaranteed, like the law of reaping and sowing. You will reap what you sow. And I want to say that I feel so sorry for so-called Christians who are not willing to obey God and who refuse and who rebel against Him, because they really don't know what they're missing out on. It is a grand life. It is truly a charmed life when you choose to willingly obey the Lord. Willingly, not by somebody forcing you to do it, making you to do it, constantly reminding you to do it, constantly rebuking you, chastising you to do it. No. Willingly and obediently. And who refuse to refuse. These are they who are truly blessed of the Lord in this life and in the life to come. Let's pray. Holy Father, God, we praise you and we thank you once again on this beautiful hot day in Dallas, Texas. And Lord, I thank you for allowing me to be here. Thank you for allowing us to be here. And we thank you, Lord, for the effect of the power of the preaching of your holy word. Lord, I give you the glory, praise, and honor for the impact that I see it having. And so my faith and my trust is in you to continue to bring it to pass, to break the hard rock hearts among us and out there all around the world. Break the band of wickedness. But one good thing about it, Lord, even if they don't change, even if they don't confess their sins, even if they don't repent, Lord, you have served notice on them through your prophet, through your preacher, who proclaimed your holy word faithfully. Isaiah originally, and others who are preaching your holy word today. And that is judgment enough. As Abraham told the rich man, and as another preacher told Andy Stanley last night, if they don't hear the word of God, if they don't hear the prophets, they will not believe if somebody rose from the dead. So your holy word is all powerful, and it is enough for everybody. Your preached word, what some call the foolishness of preaching, is still your way with all of the interesting gadgets we have today. The foolishness of preaching is still your powerful way of communicating to men and women, boys and girls. So Lord, in the end, have your Holy Spirit and your Holy Word to work together to break the lying, hypocritical hearts of proud Christians. And Lord, help all of us to confess our sins, to cry, O me, and to repent, and to let it go. And then, Lord, have your Holy Spirit to lovingly woo sinners who have been abused by hypocrites and phonies and fakes with their lives, their hypocritical lives, to still see Jesus, open their blinded eyes, unstop their deaf ears, and save their souls and change their lives. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, the great evangelist George Whitefield said, "True repentance will entirely change you." The bias of your souls will be changed. Then you will delight in God, in Christ, in his law, and in his people. You will delight in God's word, the Old Testament and the New Testament, and God's truth. And wherever you are violating God's truth, you will feel the compunction to confess your sins and to repent. Ladies and gentlemen, statistics show that churches in America are doing little in the way of getting church members who are sinning to repent. According to the very trustworthy Lifeway Research, more than 8 in 10 Protestant senior pastors say their church has not disciplined a member in the past year, and I would add to that, in the past 20 years, and many in the past 40 years. No one has ever been disciplined. In fact, most people don't even know what it means to rebuke a Christian, so-called, in the church about their sin. And more than half say they don't know of a case when someone has ever been disciplined. When was the last time some wicked person has been disciplined in your church? It's not happening. It's not even heard of in the so-called modern churches today. We have a young preacher right now, very popular among other young preachers, and that's why he's so dangerous. Very, very affable individual, raised by a great man of God, and he mentioned that himself that he was never called to preach. He volunteered to preach, and that might be the problem. But somebody, some lady told him that he was a great communicator. Ronald Reagan was a good communicator too, a great communicator as well. Dr. John Maxwell is his mentor, and Dr. John Maxwell is a great communicator as well, but he's also called to preach. Be that as it may, we have a young preacher in the nation today. I believe the whole reason why he is going on this wicked trip about unhitching ourselves from the Old Testament, which is absolutely impossible, as several people have lovingly and respectfully demonstrated to his face. One bearded fellow out of Arizona just handed his behind to him on a platter and did it so sweetly and so wonderfully, I can't add to it. I dare not add to what he did or try to. But he convincingly stated the biblical facts. It made it very clear that Andy Stanley is wrong. And so you say, well, why is he doing this? Why won't he just stand down and humble himself and let it go? I believe it's for one reason. Somehow the devil slipped him a Mickey and got in his spirit that he should somehow let his church and have his church to let homosexual people and homosexual couples, if there is such a thing, to be members of his church, and he wants to spread that false teaching to other churches and to the minds of other young pastors. But I assure you, my beloved, as sure as I am standing before you today, that is a Trojan horse that will destroy those churches, will blow them up to pieces. Because God will write Ichabod upon the doors of those churches. That's the reason why he's doing this. There's no other reason, and he knows better. Be that as it may, back to our main connected point, the lack of church discipline. See, if you had church discipline in the church, they would sit him down and stop him from communicating because he's communicating falsely. The lack of church discipline is one of the reasons why we need the word of the Lord as delivered through Isaiah. On last night, and oh, what a wonderful night we had in the word, we looked at the call to repentance via the positive command, wash you, make you clean. And I don't know how positive that is. That can be seen as negative as well. Either way, it's good. And it needs to be done. And we have too many people in our wicked society and in our churches today who are not willing to do that. Today we look at the, if you will, more negative commands. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. And for most Christians, this will be a process. Unfortunately, this will take some time. There are a few Christians who will hear the command and will immediately get the evil out of their lives. There are a few like that. Again, the emphasis remains on the deliberate action of the human beings involved. And yes, God will help us. God will put it in our minds. God will lead us. God will provide the power of His Holy Spirit. He will not make us do it, because we are free moral agents, and so you're going to have to stir yourself a little bit to get this done. Whatever it takes to get yourself washed and clean. Whatever it takes for you to change your nasty attitude, your nasty rebellious ways and stubborn ways, your mean and hateful ways, your lustful ways. You're going to have to stir yourself a little bit, and you're going to have to say no to some things that you've been doing and put them away. Some of you might need to put away a girlfriend. Some of you might need to put away a boyfriend, and it's hard because you got your soul tied thing going on. And you just love it, that man, and you just love it, that woman. And it's hard. You can't imagine going a day without them, a day without texting them, a day without calling them, and getting a little sneaky, cheating little messages. You cannot imagine going through life with just your beast of a wife and your beast of a husband, without having your little chickadee, your little side piece on the side. You just can't imagine it. But you're going to have to put it away. Put them away. Some of you need to put your drugs away that you get from the doctor. Some of you need to put away your liquor bottle that you use to hide from life. Some of you need to put away your pornography. Some of you need to stop listening to KISS, K-I-S-S, Kings in Satan's Service. Some of you need to put aside the Eagles, Hotel California. Some of you need to put away your secret homosexuality, your being a unicorn, going both ways. Nobody knows about it. You're on the down low. You got a wife, but you got your boyfriend too. Some of you devils need to put away your wicked lust for children, male and female. We just saw today, listen to me very carefully, an unattractive woman, and that's right, I said it, she was unattractive. She's in jail right now tonight because she was messing with little children. And you people who can't get any satisfaction, Mick Jagger, for you rockers up in here, you can't get any satisfaction because you don't think you have it going on. Leave the children alone, because I assure you, you're going to hell messing with these children, male and female, molesting children, raping children, lusting after babies on pornographic sites. I assure you, as I'm standing here before you, you're going to hell. You're going to bust hell wide open. That's guaranteed. Put away whatever evil is in your life, in your heart. You have to make a quality decision to do that. God will help you. I assure you. I guaranteed you, in the words of Sammy Madison. That's what he would say. Graduate of Columbia University, but still would say, I guaranteed you. In the past tense. I don't know why he did it, but he did it. God will help you. God will give you everything you need. But as the Bible says here, but if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured. That's still our loving God. Put it away, the Lord says. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to close today. I think you got the meat of the message. I have so much more to say on paper, but God is shutting me down right now. And I will leave you with these three takeaways, with my last words being, put it away, God says. Or God said, put it away. Put away your evil. Put away your secret lust that nobody knows about. See, that's what hypocrisy is about. Is you're just putting on a facade. You're just masquerading, trying to make people think that you're acceptable. You're an acceptable Christian. You're such a wonderful husband. That's what you have on Twitter. That's what you make your wife say, that you're such a wonderful husband, such a wonderful father. That's what you have on Facebook, because you're a hypocrite. You're not a wonderful husband at home. You're not a wonderful father at home. You're not a wonderful wife at home. If your little girlfriends that you're gathering around at Starbucks right now will visit your house, they'll find a pig pen. And your husband is not satisfied. That's why he's with Sylvia right now, while you're with your girlfriends. But you want the church to think you you're so sweet and wonderful. You're such a wonderful, dutiful wife. a doting mother. And the truth of the matter is you don't even want to be around your children. Under your breath, you call them little crumb snatchers. And with your little devilish girlfriends, because, you know, women got the angelic girlfriends and they got the devilish girlfriends. With them, these little monsters, I tell you the truth. And they all agree with you. Uh-huh, yeah, they monsters, ain't they? But in front of the church folk, you want to act like you're so sweet and so wonderful. And you're just so, and your husband is just a big old bad monster. But they don't see the witch in you. So stop being a hypocrite. That's what this whole chapter is about. That's what this whole series is about. Hypocrisy. And in the words of Leonard Ravenhill, if you folks don't stop playing and start praying, you're going to be in a world of trouble. And so, dear friend, for those Christians who are among us, listening, watching, participating this evening, here are three things you need to do. Number one, confess and repent of your own sins. You already know what they are. Number two, pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ to repent, to confess and repent of their sins and get back to their first love, and you need to join them. Number three, pray for lost souls to be saved and do your part by witnessing to the lost at any cost, by any means necessary. Let's stand for prayer. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would help us to take heed to your holy word today, that we would put away our sin, our stubbornness, our rebelliousness, our hypocrisy. We know that you will help us. We don't even have to ask you for it, because we know that you want us to do it more than we want to do it. Lord, we pray that we would be willing and that we would choose to obey you and receive your help, your grace, the power of your Holy Spirit to do so, to wash ourselves and to clean ourselves through the blood of Christ, in the name of Christ. Break the band of wickedness, evil, and sin in our lives. Help us to stop the foolishness in our lives that brings shame to your name. Help us to stop rebelling against you. Help us to stop refusing to do it your way, so that you can bless us in the way that we need to be blessed, and deep down we want to be blessed. In Jesus Christ's name I do pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are with us today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in him for salvation from sin and hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty. Always there is a punishment for sin. Always, every time, every day of the week, throughout eternity. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." The wages of sin is death. We die physically because of sin. Our bodies go to the grave or are cremated. Our souls go to hell. Some bodies are in the sea. Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now as I speak. You don't have to do anything else. Just keep on breathing and keep on living. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. You think it's hot in Dallas, Texas, dear friend. You have not seen hot. You have not felt hot. It's hotter than this in hell, dear friend. That's why I'm here telling you how to be saved, so that you can go to the truly air-conditioned heaven instead of going to the furnace of hell. This is real talk, by the way. I'm not trying to be eloquent at all. I'm trying to get your soul saved from hell, man. You say, well, aren't there some other wonderful things that you can talk about as far as being saved? Yes, I can. A peace that passeth all understanding, joy unspeakable, purpose to live for. But ultimately, as an evangelist, my main concern and my main job is to get your soul saved from hell, and that's what I'm going to do. For the Bible says in Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable, the homosexuals, the child molesters, people who are having sex with their animals, people who are having sex with their family members, the abominable people, and murderers and whoremongers, people who get married, who have sex without the benefit of marriage, who have sex with anybody and everybody, prostitutes, male and female, and sorcerers, people who practice witchcraft and voodoo, and idolaters, people who put anything or anybody before God, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And God does not lie. God cannot lie. I said, based upon the word of God, God cannot lie. God cannot. It's impossible for God to lie. And who in their right mind would make this up? The greatest writers of our day, the greatest movie makers of our time, including Shakespeare, when he was here, could write anything like this, that we would not imagine a place called hell in the lake of fire to put ourselves in. That's ridiculous. You're listening to and you're hearing God's word. So hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you, and you need to take heed to this. Jesus Christ said himself in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. These are the words of Jesus Christ himself. And just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you willing? Are you ready to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? Let's do that right now. Follow me in the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I admit that I have broken your Ten Commandments, and I've committed many other sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world, that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. and help me to follow you in the new life to come. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And so, dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you to help you grow in the faith. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you, is my prayer. Why Jesus loved me.